Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, your ADHD information station where we help those with ADHD pay attention to attention. With your host, ADHD and attention coach, Jeff Topper.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. I'm your host, ADHD and attention coach, Jeff Copper. Our topic tonight, ADHD and control. Is it about controlling or performing? And with us joining me tonight in our virtual studios is the Dr. Kirsten Milliken. Real quickly, tonight is Wednesday, April the 4th in the year 2018 at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Our show is being brought to you by children and adults with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. We're offering you two free digital copies of Attention Magazine. All you have to do is listen for the secret word given in each of the shows. You'll need three of them. Then email us the three secret words along with either the title or the date of each of the shows to attention@attentiontalkradio.com, and we'll email you the two most recent issues of Attention Magazine in PDF format. As we mentioned, tonight's show is being brought to you by Chad. They've got a tip for you tonight, so let's play that. We'll get on to the show.
For children with ADHD, summertime needs a well-thought-out plan. To keep your child happy and healthy, here are a few tips. Create a routine, provide structured activities, and set a bedtime to keep your child from being tired and restless the next day. For more summer survival tips, visit Chad's website at helpforadhd.org.
Thank you so much, Chad, for your continued support. For those who are not familiar with them, they're the largest not-for-profit organization that advocates on behalf of those with ADHD. It's awesome to be a member of Chad. You get all the member benefits, which include the magazine, website, forum, Ask the Expert, among other things. But the real reason to join is really to help support them, because they're the ones that advocate on Capitol Hill, other regulatory agency. They help us really speak with one voice. So I encourage you to go. If you're not a member, become a member. Again, just for the support. You can learn more at chadd.org. Okay, so let's get into tonight's show. The topic is ADHD and controlling, and it's about controlling or performing. And we've been doing some unique shows recently with Kirsten Milliken, who we've interviewed before, and she's been a co-host of Attention Talk Radio. She has her own podcast called Your ADHD Life, and we've been doing some joint content. So this was actually pre-recorded. We're having a lot of fun with this, kind of going back and forth, sharing our expertise and insights and a lot of things that we've learned from interviewing the experts over the years. So we're going to roll the tape. We hope you enjoy it. Our secret word is control. Kirsten, we're here today to talk about ADHD and control. Is it about controlling things or performance? And, you know, this is kind of an interesting topic. I've worked with a lot of people with ADHD who have been called controlling or they call themselves OCD. And did some great interviews with Dr. Roberto Olivardi on what OCD is, and it's very clear that you can have a need to clean everything in the house so that it's free from distractions, and that's not OCD, but a lot of people actually kind of call themselves, and that's kind of a structure for people to focus. And I just want to kind of talk about those with ADHD. When you find something that works, you need to kind of stick to it. But there's an awareness play for today about being aware that you have things that work, but at the same time, being aware of it and how it impacts other people.
Yep.
What's your experience on this? I mean, have you run into this a lot,
well,
too?
Well, it's funny, because as soon as you said that, we just had an incident in my house, because I have certain drawers where certain things go. And when I go to look for something, I'm very visual. And so when I needed a pair of scissors, and in my mind, I see the scissors in the drawer where the scissors are supposed to go, and I go there and the scissors aren't there. And while it's not really a big deal, it's very frustrating to me, because the scissors should be there. In my world, the scissors should be there. That's where I last saw them. That's where I expect them to be. And now I'm on the hunt and accusing everybody of messing with my system because, you know, other people use the scissors besides me. I realize that, but they don't understand necessarily.
Yep.
The importance of putting them back, because mom might need them or somebody else might need them, or they might need them and come to me and say,
yep,
where are they? And I don't know if they haven't put them back where they belong.
Yep.
So
I think I want to highlight that, because I think that's a really, really, really good example, because those with ADHD struggle with working memory. And if
you've got some thoughts in your mind about solving a problem or doing something and you need the scissors, you want to use your executive functioning brain, your thinking brain, to continue with the problem. And if the scissors are in the same place all the time and you automatically go through, it's almost like it's a programmed response. You don't have to think about it, but to actually have to stop and go, where are the scissors? And actually begin to go look for it. What happens is things start to fall out of your working memory and you begin to forget the problem. So it's very, very, very disruptive when the scissors aren't where they're supposed to be because you've got to stop what you're doing. And I talk about working memory be like rebooting. So if you go find the scissors and you come back, you will have forgotten about the problem. So you kind of have to start over. And I share
that
because
you lose your motivation. You lose your motivation too. Absolutely. That forward motion gets disrupted for you because now you're taking up all of this energy and brain space doing this other thing, finding something.
Absolutely. And so I think that's a great example of a structured reason for it, but at the same time, know that that other people are sensitive to this too, and so you can be anal about it. So there's a little bit of empathy and like, hey, listen, and advocating for yourself. I need the scissors to be there because if they're not, it really disrupts my world and my ability to get things done for you maybe.
Right, exactly. Well, I've become the naggy mom where, you know, if somebody takes the scissors out or something like that and I see them walking away, my thing is always, make sure you put them back. And they're all like, yeah. And it, you know, Oliver, my younger son, has ADHD too, but I don't think he is as aware of the importance of having those systems and strategies. My older son just knows that he better do what I say or there's going to be hell to pay later on. So, it's a thing in my house, and I know that it is for a lot of my clients too.
Absolutely. How about leaving projects out? Have you run into that a little bit? And same thing on my side is many people with ADHD, I find that friction inhibits your ability to do things. So it's kind of like a construction guy. If you go on site and you drag all your tools out and you get it all set up and then you work and then you got to put all your tools back into the truck, that all those steps that you've got to do are little tiny steps that inhibit your motivation and your ability to perform. So a lot of times I find people leave projects out the way they are. Two things happen. One is they don't have to pull it out. And number two is they have a visual reminder of where they were in the project when they get back to it. So they don't have to think their way through it. And for others, it looks like a mess. But for somebody with ADHD, number one, there's less friction. And number two is you have the vision on that to remind you so that you kind of don't have to start from the beginning. And I find that, again, it's an ugly structure, but it's very, very practical for somebody with ADHD, which, again, can be somewhat problematic with some other people because of the visual side of it. I did an interview years ago about the notion of sprawling and unsprawling, which really makes a lot of sense. But, again, that activity of doing that really kind of gets in the way. What are your thoughts on that?
I think I've brought this up before, that I had hired a organizer at one point, and they came up with a great system for putting things, you know, all my bills and all my papers in folders so that they weren't just spread out all over the place. And the next month I realized that I had forgotten to pay a lot of my bills because I couldn't see them anymore. So, you know, I've learned if I want to pay my bills, they have to stay right in front of me. And it's the same thing for other projects too. It's got to be right in front of me. Otherwise it just doesn't exist. So while other people are saying like, you know, you're right now it's my taxes, right? Why can't you just put all this stuff away? And I'm like, no, because then I'll forget that I have to do it. Even if I have it on a to-do list, it's not in front of me. So, and I do realize it makes sometimes for, you know, a messy house at sometimes or for a messy space or whatever. But go back to that working memory thing too. Like if I have to remember that there's this project there because there's no other trigger, then I'm unlikely to get there. I've got too many other things that are taking up those working memory slots in my brain. So it's important to know, first of all, how your brain functions and what it is that it takes to get there. To get stuff done if it's important to you. So, taxes are important. I want to leave those things out. Hey, let's talk about the fact that things that are important, I need to have in front of me. So taxes are super important. And while, you know, my cleaning lady And maybe my older son would say, put stuff away, Mom, because it's cluttering up the kitchen. My thought is, no, taxes are important. I need to keep those out. They're going to be there until I get them done, and then I'll put them away. Some other projects that are maybe not as important, you know, a coloring project or something silly, I don't mind putting away because it's something I can get back to. There's not, you know, I'm not obligated to somebody else, things like that. But, yeah, sometimes other people have got to be understanding. And here's the other thing, too, is having this conversation a lot recently about, you know, when you have ADHD, sometimes you feel like you're one down. And if your neurotypical son or partner says to you, like, why do you have to do things this way? Or why are you having, you know, do you have to have such a heart attack because the scissors aren't where they are? Sometimes they need to recognize that, you know, maybe them not having a place to put things is a problem and maybe they need to just be respectful of that. It's not better or worse. Sometimes it just is. That's how things are. And if it's not hurting anybody, then it's a big deal.
Well, you know, I think that's the key to this is really understanding both sides and working together, because sometimes you can have two different styles that conflict with each other. And I'm not going to change your style, and you're not going to change my style, but to accept each other's style and adjust the environment to do that to a certain extent. I know I'm one of those people, something's out, it needs to be dealt with. Whereas if I lived with somebody who put it out as a visual reminder, that's an important structure. So if I was in that environment, I have certain areas that their stuff would be out and other stuff would be clean areas. So I could just kind of like, that's that space over there that's not mine. I don't have to deal with it. So tell you what, why don't we go to break real quick, and when we come back, I got a couple other kind of fun ones that we can do that are not as obvious. I know, Kirsten, for those that really want to learn about you, your website, youradhdlife.com is the place to go. Is that I accurate?
That's my container. That's my space. Yes, it is.
All right. And if you're interested in me, go to digcoaching.com. That's like digaholecoaching.com. And with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
Our secret word is control.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Transform lives as a professionally trained ADHD coach at the ADD Coach Academy. ADHD coaching is in demand, a calling, and a career. Learn how you can change lives by going to addca.com/ATR. That's addca.com/ATR.
The average annual cost of attending college starts around $25,000. Students who have ADHD are at high risk of dropping out because they haven't learned the critical skills they need to succeed in school. Protect your investment with an Edge Foundation coach, specifically trained to help students with ADHD and executive function challenge make the transition from high school to college. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more or call 206-632-9497 and use promo code EDGE to get your free college success guide.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
Managing ADHD is about pausing before you ponder and proceed. This opportunity to practice pausing is being brought to you by digcoaching.com.
Do you have something those with ADHD need? Advertise on Attention Talk Radio. We are a narrowcast, internet-based radio show targeting those with or impacted by ADHD. To learn more about advertising opportunities, email attention@attentiontalkradio.com.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Hey, Jeff, we're back.
Yeah, how are you? This is fun. We got this thing going on. So before the break, we're talking about systems and things that are in place that help people perform. And there's another one that I have that's kind of interesting. You know, Kirsten, I've learned over the years that many people with ADHD, they need to kind of talk out loud a little bit in order to think. But also, what's fun for me is some people actually, if you ask them a question like, what was covered in that meeting, they have to tell the story. Like,
yes.
I got my Starbucks coffee. I went in. I sat down. I adjusted my seat. The guy next to me had blue shoes, which caught my eye. And they tell this narrative story, and they remember with specificity, and they can answer your question, but they can't do it unless they tell the story, because it's this linear thing that kind of helps remind them. And it drives some people kind of crazy, but at the end of the day, if you ask them to remember it, unless they tell the story, and if you try to inhibit yourself from telling the story, you're just going to feel like a lot of anxiety. And so this is another one that's kind of there. That's, I mean, for, it's invisible to a lot of people, but it really manifests sometimes. And I see you shaking your head because you get this, right?
It's so funny. The friends who know me know that if they ask me a question, I will start answering them. And then I'll say, you know that everything has a story. I can't just tell you the answer. Everything has a story. And so, right. And so it does. It's all, you've got to include the details. Sometimes it's because it's, you know, I've got to start at the beginning and I've got to work my way through to whatever the information was that they wanted to know. And other times it's because just answering the question is not even really that interesting. And it's hard for me to even have that conversation because it's so boring. So the stories make it interesting, right? And what I find the bonus to that is people are always saying, your life is so interesting. And I'm like, if I really told you the bare bones of like what I do every day in just a very rote fashion, you'd realize it's really not all that as exciting as it sounds. But because I tell the story with every question, it sounds, and I have enthusiasm about it, it sounds way more exciting and interesting than it really is day to day. So, yeah, you know.
And tying this back to controlling performance, you need to tell the story to perform. Yeah. And sometimes you can become, no, I got to tell the story to other people. And the important part of that is realize the self-awareness that these are in fact very productive for you. At the same time, be empathetic of other people and work with them, if you will, to rearrange the world. So
I wanted to say too, is that people actually remember things better when they're put into context. Right. So if you just give an answer to something like, you know, what did you learn from this formula that they put up on the board? Like, what I remember is that they were, you know, trying to explain it this way. If you tell the story and create that for people, not only will you, the storyteller, remember that information more, but the person who's asked you the question and getting the information will actually remember it better, too. See, we're doing people a favor doing that. We are totally doing people a favor. Sorry, now go on to you having OCD, and you were very good about letting me interrupt for somebody with OCD.
I'm glad you said that, because that's me to a T. I have to tell a story to Kirsten. You know me. You ask me a question, I'm going to have to build a clock for you, because you got to understand the context to understand the answer. Because if you don't, it's like for me, if you ask me what 2 days start with letter T, I'd say, well, you know, if you think about it, Tuesday, Thursday, but I'm paying attention to a calendar. So my answer is going to be the 3rd, the 10th, so that you can understand how my answer came about. That's completely different. So anyway,
you'd have to tell me who you learned that from and how many shows you've mentioned it on.
Actually, that's the first one. You're right. That's true. I have the tendency to kind of go on about that. So, and that's a great segue, because interviewing Dr. Roberto Olivardi, he taught me that OCD, the O is an obsessive thought that comes into your mind that you can't control, and C is the compulsive behavior to rid yourself of that thought. And a person with OCD knows that that thought's not rational, but they do the behavior in order to rid themselves, in oversimplified terms. But what's interesting for people with OCD is sometimes they have to have a house that's got to be spotless. I mean, there's got to be nothing kind of going on, because if there's one thing out of place, they're obsessed with the nag, if you will. I mean, there's different ways of describing this. It's got to be put away. And so they sound like they're obsessive, but it's really to get everything situated so that they're not distracted and so that they can focus. And for some, it drives them nuts. But for this person, they're not OCD, but it's a very important structure for them to perform.
Yeah.
You're shaking your head, so you can you've seen that.
I have seen that. It's interesting to me, because I work with a lot of clients who have ADHD, and a lot of them will say like their space is really messy because they have a hard time prioritizing that. And then there are other people who have figured out and become not OCD, but somewhat obsessive about the fact that they need to keep their space clean, because they know that that's how they function best. And so they have a really strict organizing system for themselves, because they know that that's, you know, if they want to get stuff done, if they want to be efficient, if they want to find things, that their space has to be configured in a specific way.
Absolutely right. So another one. Back in 1988, I came up with an organizational system that oversimplified is, I call it a task that I need to get done. Yeah. I might send an email to Kirsten that I needed to respond to, and I'll take it and I will append it for like a week. And a week later, if it's a paper file, I go to a hanging file. And if today's the 20th, on the 27th, I look at all the papers and it's a reminder. And if she's responded to me, I'll get rid of it or I'll follow up. Same thing happens to me in the digital world. So if I send you an email, I take it out of my sent box and I put it in the folder that says 27. And then on the 27th, I moved it all in and I kind of, that's a flawless system to me. And it goes paper and it kind of goes digital. And it's interesting because people will correspond with me often by text, Kirsten. And it doesn't get into my system that way. And as I describe to people, if you have something that's really, really important, if you email it to me, it will go into my system and I will sometimes misfile the email, but 99.9% of the time it will get processed. But if you text it to me, there's two problems. One is if I read it, then it no longer says unread. And if I'm busy, because I have to copy the text and paste it into an email to get it into my system, and it breaks down sometimes as a result of that. And so as I'll tell people is, listen, there's about a 50% chance that I'm going to get this thing done. But if you send me an email, there's like a 99%. And I do that because I put them in choice because I know it works for me. And again, sometimes if I get the text and I can't – you're not supposed to be texting and driving, but I can't do all that stuff. And I don't have the working memory to remember it later. So, again, for me, people around me, like my kids will say, well, listen, you can tell it to me or you can send me an email. High probability I'll deal with it. If not, so the choice is really kind of yours. And I rationalize it because they're being lazy to a degree because they're just mentioning it to me. And then the burden comes on me and I'm going, okay, how important is this to you? If it's really not that important, you can tell me and we can wing it. But if it's really, really important to you, then you're going to have to put some work into it yourself and maybe send the email. And a lot of people with ADD have a hard time with that pushback, but one thing that I've learned is it's convenient for society if you do it their way. And a lot of times people will take shortcut and there's work to be done. And sometimes you have to advocate, like, listen, I'm willing to do my share of the work, but you're going to have to put this in a form that's going to work for me too. Yep. And again, I think that's reasonable. But again, society is always going to do it a lazy way. And sometimes you have to advocate and push back.
So here, Jeff, here's a whole performance conversation between the two of us, because I think I've heard you talk about your filing system, but I didn't realize that it was connected also to email. And so I'm a texter. If you want me to do it, text me. And if it's something I need to remember, like I won't open the text so that it will continue to have a little mark there, the reminder thing on my phone that I have a text message waiting for me to do something. I hate email. I don't check it regularly. I don't have a reminder thing set on my phone to see how many are coming in because I don't like them. And so when you have two people who have opposing communication systems, right? That's it. Like, if I had known that all along, I would have been emailing you, but you getting back to me would have been an issue because I'm a text girl.
So actually sometimes I'll actually type an email to myself that I want to text you, and I'll email it and I'll copy it off of my iPhone and I'll paste it into text.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Sometimes if there's a thread, because if you hit more, I'll hit a whole bunch of text and then email them to myself to kind of get into the system. The problem is if I'm getting that, and I'm not in it, because usually when I'm dealing with text, I'm in a situation where I don't have much time to convert that. But I do that to a certain extent because there's some people that are texters. And I can work with that crowd by the direct messages on Facebook, Twitter.
No.
That drives me kind of crazy. And I'm also a contextual type person because there's always – if you get a thing from me, I always reply all on everything, which drives people nuts. But now I have the story because sometimes I have to read the context to understand where I am so I don't have to – my working memory doesn't have to remember it.
Yeah.
And so it drives me nuts when people drop that stuff off because then I've got a version control problem where I got five different emails.
Yeah.
And I spend half the time trying to remember what the story is. And so – I apologize sometimes, but again, that's a system that has worked for me for years, and it's performance for me because if not, I'll spend 5 minutes longer trying to put together the conversation where if I just reply all, I've got a linear dialogue of kind of what's happened. So,
you know, maybe it's a separate conversation, but I think it also does fit in here, which is kind of funny because people with ADHD, I mean, you know, a lot of our conversations are around, you know, I've tried 20 calendar apps and I can't stick with any single one of them. Or, you know, trying to find these things that are productivity, you know, and systems, apps or platforms, things like that, that are going to work for us. And it's funny because you have this seemingly, I mean, clearly you have got this system that works really well for you that is a, it sounds like a pretty sophisticated system on one hand, and it does take some effort, but you have this habit of doing it. I have a calendar app that has tasks and reminders and stuff like that built into it that I have used for years as Informant Pro. And it's funny because I feel like these are like little pockets for me where I'm like, I am so awesome because I have a system and I'm productive and I use it consistently. How come I can't find that for every other area of my life, right? It's like, how did that happen? It's very, it's like these anomalies where everybody else is like, oh, I've got, you know, I can easily pick up any system and, you know, in any area that I need. And it's like, no, we have these like little areas where we're really awesome.
That's actually great. Let's go to break. When we come back to that, because there's something buried in what you just said that I find fascinating. I can tell kind of a personal story. So we'll go to break. Kirsten, everybody, check her out. Go to youradhdlife.com. And I'm Jeff Copper at digcoaching.com. And with that, we'll be right back after these messages.
Our secret word is control.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Change your life by learning more about managing ADHD. Other places give you a few tips. The ADD Coach Academy will change your life. To find out more, go to addca.com/ATR. That's addca.com/ATR.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
You can't go off to college with them, but we can. Visit edgefoundation.org to learn more how an EDGE coach can help your student reach their full potential. You can also call 206-632-9497 and use promo code EDGE and get a free college success guide.
The Attention Talk Network has over 450 interviews and more than 210 hours of programming, which is overwhelming if you think about it. That's why I've made my list top 10 favorite Attention Talk radio interviews. Download the list at www.digcoaching.com/ATR.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Attention Talk Radio
and
your ADHD life.
Your ADHD life. Attention Talk Radio, joint content and good content, I might add. So before the break, we were talking about systems. And Kirsten, I was describing my fundamental system, and that is when you have something to do, you break it down and there are action items, and then you do the action, and then you follow up with it. Again, on my physical, I have 31 hanging files in a drawer, each numbered for each day. So if I think it's going to take about a week to follow up, I'll put it in the number that's 7 days. And that morning, every day, I'll pull everything out. And in my digital system, same thing happens because under my inbox, I've got 31 folders, each numbered 1 through 31. So it's the same system. And here's the reason I'm bringing this up is what happens is if I'm following up with you to do a show, it will rotate through sent to the pending system, to my inbox, to sent to the pending system. It rotates all the way through until it's resolved. And then it's either deleted or it's put in a historical folder. Like if we're getting approval to do something, I put it in my Attention Talk Radio folder so that it's there documented. Sometimes I save it on my hard drive. So that's my fundamental system. It's universal on everything that I do.
Hey, Jeff, could you do a screenshot of that we could show people?
I can't easily right now, but we should probably do a show on it at one point in time because I got to have my Outlook. But here's what's interesting is I've learned that that's my fundamental system. My automatic brain is programmed for the last 30 years, so it's effortless for me if I can put it into the system. What it's interesting to me is when I go out into the world and I get an app, the question is can I bastardize that app to adapt to my system?
Yeah.
And often I can't. And it's as I've described, it's not that I can't change. It's my I remember things by category, and I do what I do because when I put it into my system, I no longer have to remember it. The system is going to prompt me. I don't have to worry about it. And I have different ways of doing it, and so I can rely on it. To change that system would require me to reprogram 30 years of behavior and habit. And so it's a lot easier to find that app. And you know me, I can get pretty frustrated because what I hate about these days is you got to download the app and then you got to learn it and find out if I can't bastardize it to do what I want it to do.
Yeah.
And nobody knows it because it's like, download it. I'm like, anyway, that's very, very frustrating. But I can be very controlling and very anal because of performance. People think that I'm organized and stuff, and I am because I've had this system that I rely on for the longest period of time. But if you want me to perform, it's got to go into my system. And so sometimes I'm labeled as controlling. Well, I am because I want to get you what you want.
You're a giving guy. You're not controlling. You're a giving guy.
Until I drive you crazy with it. So anyway, trying to think of some other ways, other systems. I have another system, and that is time. I have a Timex watch. My dad gave me a Rolex that I've never worn, but I had this little Iron Man watch. And it's funny because on the timer, I have it set for 6.5 minutes. And number one, when I swim, when I practice, I use it for interval swimming because my eyes can't see the pace clock anymore.
Yeah.
So if I want to go, like if I'm doing 100s on 120, most of you guys don't know what that is. It means you leave every minute 20 seconds. I have the sound. But when I'm cooking like ribs or something else, I set my watch and it beeps. And it's not when it's done. It's just reminders to go flip it, whatever. And by the way, when I'm swimming in the pool too, everybody hears that beeping thing. Like, what the heck is that? It's my watch. It's keeping me on my practice or my interval type thing. Or I use it when I'm cooking, or I'll set the alarm. And when it goes off, it might mean I got to take some stuff out of the washer or something. What's interesting is sometimes it goes off and I'm like, okay, it's going off because it's supposed to remind me. It takes me a while to remember what I'm trying to remember. But it's funny because I hit that thing on, and it'll get me, and I'll know, stop. What is it that was there?
Yep.
And the beeping of it will drive people crazy. But, again, it goes back to I don't have to remember. I don't have to worry about my working memory. Like, okay, that's right. I'm cooking rice, and I got to go stir it or whatever it is. Again, and like I said, it's some people, like I walk around the house beeping all the time. But, again, it's a structure that I rely on for performance.
Yeah, there's I actually talk with my clients a lot about this because, you know, as adults especially, we're bright people. We have ADHD, which means we do have smaller working memory than other people. But we always want to say, oh, you know, I'm smart enough. I'll remember this one thing until, you know, more than 10 minutes go by. And there's stress that comes with doing that because it is a total crapshoot. More likely than not, you're not going to remember unless you're just sitting there doing nothing for the next 10 minutes.
Yep.
But it causes a lot of stress, especially if another person is relying on you to do something or is asked you to do something. And sometimes it's enough to disrupt people's sleep. I have a lot of clients who have a hard time sleeping because they think before they go to sleep and they're like, I got to remember that in the morning. And doing that brain dump, whether it's a project that they've started or something that they want to remember or what have you, making sure to write it down and have a plan for when they're going to either go back to look at it again or pick the project up again, frees out working memory, brings your stress down, right, and increases the chances that you are, in fact, going to meet your intention to pick it back up again or whatever it was. I love the statement Mike Vardy says all the time, your brain is a factory and not a warehouse, right? So trying to hold that stuff in your head all the time is ridiculous. Having a system gives you a place to put things, right?
Yep.
Having a pad of paper next to your bed gives you a place to put things. Making a plan when you're in the middle of a project and need to put it down for when you're going to pick it back up again, you've put it someplace. Rather than trying to hold it in your head. And the other thing that I say is externalize everything, right? Don't hold that crap in your head. You're just asking for disaster. So having those systems is so important.
Yes. So I'm not going to disrupt the interview right now to go send an email to myself, because I've got to remember your house is a, your brain is a whatever, not a warehouse.
I'll totally text it to you later.
Yeah, so you got to text that to me, because like right now, so here's the thing.
Look, I'm totally sending it to you right now.
So often I wake up in the middle of the night with this idea at 2 o'clock in the morning and go, I don't want to lose this idea, but I don't want to wake up either.
Yeah.
And so what I used to roll over is I would hit the speed button on my phone and it would dial my work office, and I would just dictate into my voicemail at work whatever it was in my mind, and then roll over and go to bed, which for me was great because I could sleep at that, because you know how you have that idea and you worry about it for 3 hours and then you finally like drift off and you can't remember it. So it was outloaded, drove my ex crazy, because like you wake him up because I'm dickling like, who the hell are you calling at 3 o'clock in the morning? Well, I'm offloading this so that I can kind of remember it. And it worked well. I mean, I did it for years. A lot easier, because when I have to write it down on a piece of paper, I'd be up at that point in time. But I can, you know, me, I can talk my business in my sleep if I have to. So again, it's just about performance. It's just sticking with some of that stuff, which is really our theme today.
Well, and I think something that's important to recognize too for our partners and people in our lives who maybe are giving us a hard time and saying we're controlling is that, you know, if you're listening to me and Jeff talk about how exciting it is to have these systems, or you know, to have these reminders to not forget something because you have a system to remind yourself and get back to it. We want to be productive. We want to meet people's goals and expectations and satisfy other people as well as ourselves. And so when you give us a hard time sometimes about being too controlling because we're using a system and we don't want to deviate, you might be, you know, kicking yourself in the foot later on when we don't use that system and you don't get what you want because we lost the thought or we forgot something. So,
you know, Kirsten, you got your doctorates, right?
Yeah.
My master's, and it's interesting because I've got my challenges, but what got me through school and through work and stuff are all the systems that I had put in place that I rely on. And I built many of them over the years. And so to a certain extent, the success that I've had is really fundamental to those systems, guys, is that you can do this stuff by building those systems and relying on them.
That's right. What else do you want to say to our fabulous audiences, Jeff? Because I've talked myself out about this.
I think we've gotten our kind of point together. So I think it's time to wrap it up. We'll say stories for another time. So I know for everybody, always enjoy doing this. This is great. This is a lot of fun sharing content between Your ADHD Life and Attention Talk Radio. And everybody, I encourage you to go visit Kirsten's site at youradhdlife.com. And I'm Jeff Copper at digcoaching.com. And with that, thanks for tuning in.
Thank you, Jeff. It was fun talking.
Catch us next week for another edition of Attention Talk Radio. Take care.